I love to journal because it reminds me of what God has done in my life. It reminds me of the changes that have happened. It reminds me of battles I've gone through and battles that have been won, because you can look through them and see what is going on. Otherwise, you forget if you don't write it down. But I've written down in one of my journals in 2016, so a few years ago, and I haven't been searching through for this, it just keeps coming up. I wrote about a text message, and the text message said, my answer to the text message was that it was lots to do with God's love and how much you allow him to love you and how much you trust him to catch you. So lots to do with God's love, how much you allow him to love you and how much you trust him to catch you. Now, the answer to that text message was, sounds good, sounds like it could be the start of a good sermon. So 2 years later, we're going to see what we can do about this. I'm going to read you from Psalm 101 from the Passion Version, verse 1 says, let everyone give all their praise and thanks to God. Here's why. He's better than anyone could ever imagine. He's always loving and kind, and his faithful love never ends. And I'm pondering about this bit, never ends. If it never ends, it must have started somewhere. And I'm saying to myself, and I know there's a verse in the Bible, someone has pointed this one out to me, but I don't need to know that. If it never ends, where did it begin? Did it begin when we suddenly turned around and said, Jesus, come into my life, I love you? Did God just sit up in the heavens and go, oh, there she is, I wondered where she'd gone, I can love her now? No, I don't think so. Because before that, Psalm 139 tells us, we were created in his innermost being. He knit me together in my mother's womb. Brilliant. So right at the beginning, when we were being made, is that when God first started loving us? No. Right back further. Right back when he made the world. When he sat, stood, whatever he did, over the nothing. When he decided he was going to say, let there be light, because he's Alpha, because he's Omega, because he knows everything, because he knows what's coming, he knew Florence was going to be there. He knew the love that he had for Florence. He knew the love already that he had for Barbara. He knew all the love already that he had for everybody. So long time ago, long, 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 long time ago, God knew us. God loved us. That's a good thing. We've been singing so many songs about love this morning, so that's really cool. But also, the Bible says that we're made in his image. So when we're made in his image, that's certain things that are planted in us when we're made. That's certain things that we are able to go and do and step out and do the things just as Jesus did when he walked on the earth. So we can walk in his love, we can walk in peace, we can walk in his joy, his happiness. We've got the ability to, as Jesus was walking, like he saw Nicodemus up in the tree and called him down to know him better, we have that ability to see in people that if they're crying out for Jesus, come here, we can tell you about it. You know Jesus, come get closer. We have the ability, as he stood outside Lazarus's tomb and called Lazarus to life. We have the ability, because we're made in his image, to call him, to speak life into people. We also have the ability to raise people from the dead. I haven't seen that. That would be awesome. We have this. All this has been planted in us years ago, before we even knew we existed. That's just before that. Because we're made in his image, because the seeds are planted in us. But we've got to allow him to water those seeds. They don't automatically grow. The closeness of God allows them to grow and get better and grow into maturity. Now, the Israelites wandered around in the deserts for 40 years. And also Psalm 107 tells us that they cried out lots of times. They actually cried out. It says in Psalm 107 that they cried out four times. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Now, because God's a God that loves and cares about us and doesn't want to leave us wandering around for 40 years before we get to the right place where he wants us, when we cry out, when we're desperate, and I don't think it's just that we don't have to be very desperate, it's just, show me how to do this, Papa. I need more of this in my life. He's going to answer us. He's going to come through for us. And it's part of how we grow up and how we get to know him more. But verse 9 also says that he will satisfy a thirsty soul and a hungry soul. He is filled with what is good. We have to be thirsty for what we're asking for. We can ask for it just, oh yeah, can I have this? Can I have that? If we don't really want it, I'm not so sure that we're really going to get it. I think we have to want it. I'll tell you a quick story about one of the early times when I really wanted to know God for myself and not just because of what other people were saying. And that's part of my reading testimony, and some people will know about this. I wanted to read the Bible and to get to know God for myself, not just what everybody else was saying. I'd come to church and people would say, oh, you know that bit in the Bible? Or they'd stand up the front and say, oh, everyone knows that. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, I don't know that. I'm not sure about that. And you try and flick through the Bible to find the place where you should be before somebody reads something. Too late, missed it, because we're on to something else. So I sat with God one morning in my kitchen, and I was following a daily Bible reading, wanting to read the Bible. But as you open the Bible, to me at that time, when I looked at those words, it was daunting. All you had to read was like a page and a half. But to me, that was too much to read. It wasn't good. All I saw was the long words on there, thinking, this is hard. I can't do this. So I looked to God and said, teach me to read. I need to know you more. Teach me to read. And I knew at that time that he was sitting opposite me at the table, and I could look straight at him. Teach me to read, Papa. And I fully expected to look down at my Bible and read and not be daunted and not be worried, because I know he could do this. But he said, read to me then. So I looked down at my Bible and everything looked exactly the same. All the big words stood out for the fact of you're not going to be able to read those. All the length of the words said, that's going to be too much. And I said, looked up again and said, God, teach me to read. He said, read to me. I looked down the Bible again. Teach me to read. Read to me. So I started reading, because my reading ability was just low. It wasn't terrible. I could read some. So I read in my head, in my mind, started to read the passage of the day. And he said, no, read out loud to me. And I said, that's embarrassing, Baba. What if somebody comes in the room? That's an embarrassing thing to do. I don't think he can do it. He said, read out loud to me. Okay. So I started to read out loud, and it was very quivery, because you hear yourself. You hear your inability to be able to do it. But I read through and I kept going. I got to one of the longer words and just went, no. So then carried on reading. And he said, stop. Go back. Sound that word out to me. Like I say to Caden, sound it out to me. I'm here and I'm listening. He said to me, sound it out. I'm here and I'm listening. And from that day on, I read in the morning, I read in the evening with him. I didn't just read the Bible, I was reading other books as well. I was reading from the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe series. And the joy of reading came out in me that I absolutely love reading now, and I'm happy with it. But he could have just given me that ability like that. But that wouldn't have taught me to come close to him. That wouldn't have taught me to go through the journey. That wouldn't have built up my relationship with God. And the journey was more important than the outcome on that bit. And that was really fun to do. And that was just about getting closer to God. And I'm sure you guys have all got your own stories about getting closer to God and knowing more about him. Now, a little while ago, we were all involved in the 40-day prayer and fast. We were all called to pray and get closer to God in our own time. But During that time, we were asked to pray for a place of our own, and we haven't seen it yet. We were asked to pray for breakthrough in provisions, and we've seen some. We had Flavia's testimony last week about the help with finances with the car. We've had the car for the Moody's and for money coming through and for holidays and things. But we still need to pray in for more provision for the church. We were also asked to pray for the job club and favour on the funding. Didn't get the original one we were praying for. We got the other one, which was a better one, puts us in a better position to pray for people. We were also given words during that time that we're the children of God and we act boldly with authority, but also can act like little kids free of worries, that we're filled with joy from John 16. And I think there's an awful lot of joy in this church. It really is. We're reminded not to forget the wonder of his being forgiven. And we're encouraged to build our ark here on the Britwell, and the rain will come and we will see many rescued. We're encouraged from Isaiah 43 that God's doing a new thing. Reminded to look forward, and again from Isaiah 43 that God is doing a new thing. We were told to pray and pursue God and be persistent as Elijah was. From Deuteronomy 8:7, we heard that we're entering a new season and things without lack, good things without lack. So that's a lot for us as a church to look forward to and to keep praying into. But it's also an individual responsibility. It's not just about when we're gathered as a church, how we are praying and how we are strengthening ourselves. It's what we do individually as well. So going back to the Israelites, hopefully I'm not wandering up and down too much and you're following what I'm doing. Because we're now with Joshua, and he's going to take them across to possess the land. So the land that they've been promised, the land that they've been told they're walking into, they've come out of the wanderings and now they're off to possess the land. So Joshua 1, 10 to 11, it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Now they would have gone and had to get physical possessions ready because they're actually travelling a physical journey. So some of the things we do for God, we have to get physical things ready. So we put the gazebo up if we're doing the outreach. We gather all the tombola stuff in if we're doing the fun day. Things, there's physical things that we have to do. But it's also about preparing yourself with your spiritual things so that as you're in your land that you're claiming, which will be your workplace, which will be your supermarket, which will be your traveling in the car with your group of friends, wherever you are, it's not just out here on the Britwell. It's the place that you're claiming, the land that God has given you is right in front of you, wherever God has placed you. Yeah, so we're preparing ourselves physically as well. Chapter 25 in the Amplified Version, it actually says, only be very careful and diligently observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, has commanded you, to love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, and hold fast to him. Serve him with all your heart, all your soul, and the Amplified Version says, your very life. So as I'm saying, not just on Sunday, not just at the prayer meeting, but your whole life should involve Jesus. Joshua told them to continue to obey the laws. And yes, we have to obey Jesus. It's just something we have to do. We don't like to do it sometimes. He says it needs to be done, it needs to be done, and we need to get in the habit of actually just obeying him. We can talk to him, we can question, we've got to know it's right, But if he says definitely do it, then we need to do it. Because as I said at the beginning, if he's asking us to step out, if he's asking us to do something, we have to trust him that he'll catch us if it doesn't quite work, because it doesn't always work. We might be walking up, he'll say, go tell that person they're loved or something like that, or go give this person something. As we go up, we have full intention of saying the words that we know we have to say. And when we get there, we go, you're right, you're having a good day. Totally opposite of what we're supposed to be saying. Then we come away and he's going to catch us and cover us from all that disappointment that we feel like, because immediately we do that, the devil's going to come in and go, ah, missed it again. But he's not. He's catching us and he's building us up and he'll take us on again. He's not moaning at us. But also, we do no longer live in the Old Testament. We now live because of Jesus coming, walking as a man, dying on the cross, coming alive again, living in heaven. We now live in relationship with God. We live in the New Testament, in the new life, and we're called to partner with him. We're not asked to stay 2,000 cubits away like the Israelites did from the ark. We were asked to come face to face with him, right up close, right in wherever he is at the moment. And that's a good place to be. So we can go, and we have to go into intimate places with God. We have to put ourselves there. It's our responsibility as Christians to get to know Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit personally. It's not an option not to get to know them. We have to do it. If we want to see his fulfillment of promises that he has given us, that we see in the Bible, if we want to see those, we have to put ourselves in a position where we can accept his love and be intimate with him and know him more. When we give our life to Jesus, it's not one of those one-off subscriptions that you last for 6 months. You give your life. It's your whole life. It's eternity. Not just a trial run. You give your life. You sign up for life. We all did it. Yay. Yay. And when we talk about the intimate places, I assume everyone knows when I'm talking and saying the word intimate places. But One Corinthians 2:12 says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God. When we start moving into those intimate places, when we want to get closer, he's going to give us everything we're asking for. He's going to give us all the things to help us and guide us closer to him. He's not holding anything back. He's not going to bombard us as soon as we say, I'm coming really close. He's not going to overwhelm us, bombard us. He's going to give us the things as we're ready. As we journey and travel with him, we get a little bit at a time to get closer and closer and become the person that he sees. As he's growing the plant, the seeds that he's put in us in the first place, little by little by little. Sometimes he might bombard you with something and you just have to go with that one. Let's see. But one of the ways that I get to intimacy with God is by painting. And a little while ago when I first started painting, my son asked me to paint a picture for him. And I thought, cool, because that gives me a chance to pray about my son, see what God's saying about him. So really sunny day, I set up my paints down the bottom of the garden, got everything sorted out, and I came inside. And if you've been to my house, you know if you sit on the kitchen table, you can look down the garden and you can see the bottom of the garden. So from my kitchen table, I had a cup of tea, looked down the garden at my paints all set up, and I prayed to God, what shall I paint? What shall I do? What do you want me to paint? Heard nothing. So continued sitting at the table with my cup of tea, looking at my paints. What do you want me to paint for Kieran? Heard nothing. Eventually, I heard God say, go and pick up your paintbrush. I said, yeah, great. What do you want me to paint for Kieran? Go and pick up your paintbrush. Awesome. What colour shall I use? What do you want me to paint? Go pick up your paintbrush. So eventually, I move out of the kitchen to the garden. I pick up my paintbrush. And I ended up painting the most beautiful, amazing picture for Kieran. I put words on the back of the painting that I knew God was speaking over him. I painted it over so you couldn't see them, so they were permanently behind. And then I painted a man walking, and I've never really painted like people. It's a man walking with a shadow behind him, footsteps taking him on his journey to where he's going. And it was an awesome day, and it was an awesome picture. And I gave it to Kieran, and I spoke to him about what Father God was saying to him, and he put it up in his room, and he loves it. To this day, this was years ago, but to this day, he hasn't turned around and welcomed Jesus into his life. But by doing that painting and giving it to him, it's opened up areas that I can talk to him about it. And it's opened up conversations. But if I'd continued to sit at the table, I would have got nothing. I have to, if I'm going to move into the intimate place with him, I have to get up and move. I had to get up, pick up my paintbrush, go down and paint. The relationship and the journey that I went through with God during that painting was really emotional. Yeah. Another way I get into intimacy is I worship. If I don't put the worship music on, it's not so good. I try singing on my own, doesn't work. Yeah, doesn't work. Yeah. If I want to read the Bible and say to God, what are you saying to me? I have to physically pick up the Bible and open the Bible. Otherwise, it doesn't work. If I want to get closer and allow him to work through me, I have to actively pursue him all the time with whatever that is that's helping. And you're all going to have different ways that you get close to God. But you have to physically go do something to do that. If we want to be a vessel that God can use, then we've got to allow him to fill us up, but we also have to allow him to flow out of us. And we all know that. We've all heard this before. So he uses like the things that we have. So he uses the opportunity, he uses the painting with me. He uses different things. He will use whatever it is he's planted in you to pour out things on the place around you, on the land that you're claiming around you. And he'll make it bigger than you can imagine that it's going to be. Oh, I'm a bit quicker than I thought. Now, I haven't got it all together. And then some days are much better than other days. Some days I'm tired. Some days I can't be bothered. Some days I'm just in a mood to say no. Those days do not work out very well. It's best not to say no. But I'm looking forward to what God's going to be doing in our own lives and what he's going to be doing in the lives of the church. I'm looking forward to seeing people coming in and receiving Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing people healed and released from pain, physically and emotionally. I'm looking forward to seeing children get to know Jesus and then taking that knowledge of them into their schools and into their families. So we went from knowing that God loves us right at the beginning, all the time, nothing we can do can change that in us, in him, to wandering around the desert, getting our paths set straight, going into the intimate places with him. Sorry. Because we need to travel in the direction that he wants us to travel in. The Psalm 107, and this is where I'm ending, says he changes right at the end. I started off in Psalm 107. I'm finishing in Psalm 107 because it's a journey. It's the Israelites' journey about different things, but it's also showing God's fantastic, amazing love for us all the time. It says he changes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell so that he establishes an inhabited city and sows fields and plants vineyards and gathers a fruitful harvest. He blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he doesn't let their cattle decrease. That wilderness is the areas in our lives that we're not letting God in, because there's certain areas, we've all got areas where we perhaps don't let him flow as freely as we do in other places. But if we allow him to, if we search him more, if we spend time with him more and allow him to do the work and grow the seeds that he's planted, he will bring them into pools of water. He will bring them into springs of dry land, and he will keep them as long as we are hungry and we stay dwelling in those places. He will plant the fields and sow the vineyards so that we will walk and will look like people of growth, people of strength, people that want, you know, people that know Jesus, so that people will come and see and want to get to know us, to get to know Jesus. They will see something different in us that makes them want to get to know Jesus, because at the end of the day, that's all we want to do. Yes, we want to build our own life, but we build our own life up in Jesus so that we teach other people about Jesus. There's no point in keeping Jesus to ourselves. A long time ago, when we were, somebody made a reference to me that, oh, you must have a heart for people on Britwell because you live in the Britwell. I had no heart for people on Britwell, no heart at all. It's like I was very focused on me and my knowing Jesus. But that little light bulb. And I actually prayed and said, no, give me a heart for people in my area, not just Britwell, but where my work is. People, you know, give me a heart. And I now have a heart for people, that I want people to know Jesus more. That's all of them. That went slightly quicker than I thought it was going. I would pray for us all now. And I just ask Father God to give us opportunities to spend that time with us. Give us, I actually say, if you don't have that place and that time that you want to get intimate with Papa God, I pray that you now will feel and pray to him and say to him, Father God, let me get intimate with you. Let me know. Let me. Jesus, I pray for openness in hearts. I pray for us all to search for you more. Lord God, I pray that you will want to. I know you want to come. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come now and put on people's hearts and say, know me more. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Because I'm a God of love. I'm a God of peace. I am a God of friendship, and I am God of joy. I am God of healing, I am God of power. With me you walk in boldness, and you walk in strength, and you walk in love. I've planted in you many, many things. These things I will water and I will grow. As you get to know me more, as you seek me more, as you hunger and thirst for me, I will come. I will not let you down. I encourage us all to seek him more, know him more in whatever way that is. I see like a really big watering can and him just watering you all right now. And growth coming from you. Because we are a church of growth. We may be small. We are quite big today, actually. But we are a church of growth. We are a church that are stepping out and doing things and not just sitting still. Because we don't have our own building, part of that is because we don't have our own building, we have to go outside. We have to make sure that people know where we are, what we're doing. We are a church of growth, not just as a church, people here individually in our hearts. We are people of growth, every single one of people of growth. And I love you all. You're amazing. Thank you.